All right. We are so delighted to be in the presence of the Lord. I walked around. I looked at faces. I don't think there was anybody in this building that wasn't touched by the presence of the Lord. Even the kids. They had that shocked look on their face like, what's happening? Hallelujah. So we're glad to be here and be in the presence of the Lord. We're going to draw your attention to the book of Luke, chapter number 10. Beginning with verse number 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and sat him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Father, we're so grateful that you've already been in our midst. But God, we come to you now with your word. And we're asking, God, that your anointing would be on your word. Talk to our hearts, talk to our minds, open up our understandings. And God, let your spirit just move upon us again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm going to preach for a little while on the subject. Get out of the ditch. Get out of the ditch. Like this man, we are all on a journey, and somewhere along the path, we may be waylaid and robbed and deprived and stripped of what is best for us. This man was going from Jerusalem down to Jericho. Jericho Road is a dangerous road. You start out in Jerusalem, which is the city of God. It's about 1,200 feet above sea level. And by the time you get down to Jericho, 15 or 20 minutes later, you're about 22 feet below sea level. In the days of Jesus, Jericho Road was called the Bloody Pass. The Bloody Pass. This is where Psalms 23 and verse 4 is talking about. Psalms 23, 1 through 6. As we read it, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In Israel, there is a real valley of the shadow of death. It is the passageway from Jerusalem to Jericho. It is a steep, deep, and narrow canyon. The sun only hits the bottom of it when it is directly overhead at high noon. The rest of the time, the bottom of the canyon is in darkness. As we look into the Word of God, the term valley also refers to all kinds of rough times in life. Joshua talked about the valley of calamity. Psalms 84 talked about the valley of weeping. Hosea talks about the valley of trouble. The reference to a valley in Psalms 23 in the Hebrew actually means the valley of deep darkness. This man made the journey through the valley of the shadow of death. And evidently, as he was coming out the other side, he came out of the darkness of the valley, just into the edge of the light, and thieves were there waiting for him. Anywhere in that valley, he could have been jumped. But it was dark. Maybe they couldn't see him good enough. So they waited at the edge, perhaps where the valley comes into a ditch. And they begin to beat him, rob him. Maybe they kicked him. Maybe they kicked him so hard he rolled over into a depression. But they left him lying there, half dead. I almost asked my doctor the last time I was there if he could tell me how you could tell if somebody's half dead. Is there a certain bodily function that happens that you know, ooh, they're on the way out? You know, I know when they get really, really close, they can tell, okay, they're dying. But half dead. I would like to think that it means that they beat his body, but they could not destroy his spirit. The devil tries to beat you. He tries to rob you. He tries to leave you laying along the side of the road. And he tries to destroy everything that you believe in. But God walks through you through the valley of the shadow of death, and he cannot. Woo, I said he cannot destroy your spirit. Are you in a ditch today? I would think if you were in a ditch today, the first part of the service here, you would have rolled out. Are you in a time that you're not seeing victory? Sometimes we get that way. We get so caught away that it's like we're in a ditch and everything is going by us. You can't stay down in the ditch when the rains of this old world's badness comes towards you. It'll fill that ditch with the things of this world. They will try to cover you. They will try to separate you from your God. They will try to move on you so that you don't even have the breath to pray. There's no way to find victory if you worry all the time. No way to find victory if you keep going through anxiety attacks, through depression. Always being upset. You know, the devil likes to keep you on the edge. He likes to keep you to the place that if Brother Wilson walked over and said, "How you doing, son?" That the spirit would say, "My God, why don't he leave me alone? I'm just doing fine. I don't need that preacher checking up on me." Well, you got to understand this. Most of the time, when somebody shakes your hand and you say, "How are you?" and they say, "We're good," they're not. They're not telling you the truth. They're talking to you from the ditch. And the Bible says, "Oh, well, never mind." You pray and you don't find satisfaction. You don't find an answer. You don't find a deliverance. You're not happy with who you are. You're not happy with where you are. As a matter of fact, you're just not happy. Don't tell me it's not here. It's here. I knew it a month and a half ago. Hallelujah. Whew. If you can't learn to be happy with who you are and where you are, God can't use you. I don't care what your dreams are. I don't care what your aspirations are. I don't care how lofty you think about the Word of God. God can't use you if you're in the ditch. Woo! But you see, I've got something to tell you that the devil don't want you to know. The ditch runs into the presence of God. I said the ditch. It runs into the presence of God. Woo! So stop laying in the ditch. Get out of the ditch. Get up. Get going. Get moving. Woo! Get off the bench and get back in the game. Man, I hated the bench when I was in high school. I was the fifth man on the basketball team. You know? What's that? Sixth man on the basketball team. I was the sixth, thank you, Pastor. And I started out on the bench. But I knew the other five players. And I knew it wouldn't be 5 minutes and I'd be in the game. I know who I am. The devil tried to knock me out. The devil tried to take me down. But I got news for you. I would not go to the ditch. I am not going to lay in the ditch. I am not going to quit. I am not going to lay down. I am going to preach. And I am going to serve my God. Woo! I'm a miracle. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There is no valley you will ever go through where you are going to be alone. I said no valley that you're ever going to go through where you're going to be alone. Hallelujah. You talk about it. You're going through that dark place. You're going through that time. Thy rod and thy strength comfort me. Thou goest with me. Amen. He's talking about going with you through the darkness. Hallelujah. You know, anybody can shout when the sun's shining. Hallelujah. But when you get down in that valley, when you're laying over in that ditch, and religion walks by, they assumed he was dead. But they didn't have enough compassion to check it out. The law come walking by. Looked over. I ain't supposed to touch nothing dead. Walk by. Assuming he was dead. But what was he? The book said half dead. You with me? You sure? Okay. Half dead. The body might be laying still. The body might look like it is dead. But inside of that man, there's a spirit. There's a presence of God. There's a love of God inside. He's groaning. I got to get out of this ditch. I got to get up. I got to continue. My journey's got to continue. I got to go. Woo. Hallelujah. Let me change the directions just for a minute here. Stay with me. Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, to Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples. And he saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, wherein never man sat, loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do you this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door, without in a place where two ways met, and they loosed him. What was so important about this colt? Well, the important thing about this colt is, number one, that Jesus knew that the colt existed. He knew the condition of the colt. He knew that no one had ever sat on him. He knew the colt had never lived up to its potential. He knew the colt had never been broken and had never been saddled. He knew where the colt was. He knew all of that from where he was and was able to tell his disciples where to go, what to get, and what to say. Is there anybody in this building that you ever wondered if God knew where you are and what you're going through? Anybody? If there is, clap your hands. All right. I knew there was. You were just being tough. You may be going through a time that is so perilous, so destructive, so painful, so discouraging. But I want you to understand, God knows where you are. If he knew where that colt was and the condition that it's in, my God knows where you are. He knows the condition you're in. He knows what you're going through. And my God is ready. I said he's ready. Woo! God knows where you are because he's walking by the ditch. He's walking right by the ditch. And he's looking over. And he sees you. He knows you're half dead. He knows the devil has been tempting you. He knows the devil has been trying you. He knows the thought patterns that go through your mind. He knows the things that come out of your mouth. He knows when you act like a Christian and when you don't. He knows when you're up here and when you're down here. And he says, if I know where that coat was, I know where you are. I know what you need. I know how to reach you today. I know how to change your life. You see, God's coming. God's reaching out. Every obstacle that we come across gives us an opportunity to improve our circumstances. Why do you let your circumstances determine who you are? Why do you let your circumstances determine how you worship God? You've heard me say before, if you're going to pray, why worry? But if you're going to worry, why pray? You know? Either get on or get off. Maybe your boat don't have any oars, but God can bring some to you. And you can row in the right direction. But it's that ditch thing. It's that ditch thing where we get down. We get discouraged. We get discombobulated from all of the things that God wants us to have. And it becomes so easy just to lay there. I'm half dead anyway. Might as well just give up. Might as well just quit. I mean, God, do you understand how many times I've been in this ditch? Do you understand how many times God got you out of that ditch? Have you ever been in a ditch where God didn't know where you were? Our struggles in life help to develop our strength. Too many people like a life with God, not very many like a life with God or in God. You know? They like to be around the showers of blessings. They like to be where the glory's coming out. They like to be in that presence of God. But then they go back to the ditch. They go back to the ditch. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of talking about being apostolic and not seeing it. I'm tired seeing Sister Judy come in here pushing that chair and then pushing it out. I'm tired of people coming to church and having arthritis and going home with arthritis. I'm tired of people being sick, going, getting prayed for, and going home sick. I'm tired of people driving by, seeing our sign, not coming in. I'm tired of handing out church cards, and people say, oh, thank you, and that's the end of it. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to get out of that ditch. I said, I'm ready to get out of that ditch. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we change our mind, we change our circumstance. Woo! Hallelujah. I don't know, but I just feel this. Somebody's here, you got arthritis, stand up. Don't tell me ain't one person in here got arthritis. There's one. You might as well come up here. You got arthritis? You might as well come up here. Somebody help him up here. That chair is too comfortable for you. Come on up here. Anybody else? Here comes another one. He just came to me. If we're going to talk about apostolic, then we need to be apostolic. Huh. Well, Brother Wilson, you know how it is. What if God doesn't do anything? Would you please get out of that ditch? Woo! Hallelujah! We may very well be the last generation of an apostolic move of God. Pastor, come help me. Brother Simmons, come help me. Please. Good to have Simmons with us today. Awesome. 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 Where is your arthritis? Everywhere. Okay. Lay your hand on his head. Jesus, in the name of Jesus, God, I come against this arthritis. I come against this thing that has taken this brother's body. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I loose that arthritis to leave his body. God, and I loose the glory of God to come through in the name of Jesus Christ. Woo! Woo! Ha! Now look at me. Let go of your seat. Clap your hands. Make them louder. Hallelujah. Raise them up. Hallelujah. Thank you. From this day forward, his fingers are going to straighten out. You hope so. Yeah? Yeah? And what's going to happen now? Got over it. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Sister. There ain't no reason the mother of our church should have arthritis. Amen. Absolutely none. Amen. It is located your hands. Okay? Put your hands on her. Put your hands on her. God, I rebuke this arthritis. I speak to this arthritis. You let go of this body. You come out of these hands. God, in your name right now, I speak deliverance. In Jesus' name. Woo, Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Woo. Thank you, Lord. Now, what could you not do with those hands? Okay. Is it hurting now when you do that? How about this? Do this number. No? How about do this number? Do this number. You good? Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Third try's the charm.
Yeah, it's all through my thumb.
All through this thumb. Okay.
I started wearing this yesterday.
Does it hurt?
I mean, bend my knuckle back. It hurts.
Okay. You're in pain now?
Yeah.
Okay. Brethren, Jesus, in your name. Father God, right now, I rebuke this arthritis. I command it to come out of this thumb. God, I command this pain to be gone right now. In the name of Jesus. Oh, it's your authority, God. You said, God, if we ask, you will do it. Woo! Yama-ma-ma-ma-ma-ma-ha-ta-ma-ma-ha-ta-ma-ha. Jesus' name. All right. That's it. Move it. Uh-huh. Pain gone? Still pain? Jesus, right now. God, I rebuke all of this pain. Every bit of this pain, God. God, if you can get people out of prison, God, if you can raise the dead, God, you can take this pain out of this body. I rebuke it right now. Pain, I command you to be gone. Woo! Do me. Yeah, no. Still hurts. Well, you know, we're apostolic. We don't quit. We don't give up. Come on, brethren.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Anybody else want to help us?
In the name of Jesus.
Come on.
We pray in the name of our God.
God, I rebuke this pain in Jesus' name. God, this is your servant. This is a man of God. God, he doesn't need to hurt. God, he doesn't need to be in pain. God, he doesn't need to suffer. Every pain, every ache, every hurt, be gone in the name of Jesus. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. Ah, that's better. You're moving it better.
Thank you, Jesus.
And?
Amen.
Amen? We're claiming it? Okay. All right.
You're done?
Hallelujah.
Praise God. I thought he's just getting started. Hallelujah. We have been saying and praying and believing. I know others have. I saw you moved at the altars. I am ready for the move of the Spirit of God. I don't want to be called apostolic and not be apostolic. And again, and Brother Wagner brought it up in the presentation Monday night, the scripture that we talked about the day before, whether it is easier. I don't care what kind of sin they had. If they brought you could have brought the worst pedophile in the world up here right now. You could bring them up here right now. And we would believe that if they would repent, God would forgive them. We would have no problem believing that God would forgive them. Now, they brought a man that was lame, let him down through the roof right in front of Jesus. And he said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And the religious people got all upset about it. And he said, "That you may know that the power, that the Son of God, the Son of Man, has power on earth to forgive sin." He also said, "Which is it easier to say? But that you may know that he has power to forgive sin. Rise up, take up your bed and walk." And the healing instantly came in that body. It was just as easy. When he said, how many believe when he said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," sins were gone. Amen. The sins were gone. Amen. The sins were done. Why is it that we can believe that, but we have trouble hanging on to the fact and believing that when he says, "The pain is gone, rise up, take up your bed and walk," we have trouble believing that? We do. We all, it's common among us. But let's stand right now and let's pray. We've already had a move of God, and I don't know if we're going to have another one or not, but right now we need to pray. We don't need to be one-sided in this. Amen? We don't need to be one-sided. We're not just about healing the emotions and healing the sin sickness. We're about the complete and total being. The stripes on his back were for our healing, not just our physical healing, but our emotional healing. Not just our emotional healing, but our spiritual healing. They were for all healing. Amen. It was done that we might experience healing. So let's have faith right now. Let's pray for the gift of faith to operate in us. Amen. And just begin to come across us that we would believe that. In the name of Jesus. Come on, lift your voices to the Lord right now. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we believe you. Lord, we trust you. Give us a revelation of how much you love everybody, of how much you love us, Lord, and desire to give us the kingdom of God, and desire to give us the promises of God. Give us a revelation of it, Lord, right now, that we can believe you for it in Jesus' name. Praise God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray in the spirit and lay it upon everyone's heart here that we refuse not to receive from the Lord those things that you have given us, freely given us. Hallelujah. He's going to lay on your heart special prayer, special times of prayer. And it's not so that you will measure up or you'll get enough pennies in his bank, coins in the bank of heaven, that he finally will move and you've bought his favor. He's going to lay those special times of prayer on you so you'll get yourself humbled before him and he can work through you. Amen. That's all he needs is a vessel. Come on, we got to have that revelation of how much he loves us. How much he loves us. How many believe that he loves you a lot? A lot. Come on, how many believe that he loves you more than you could possibly ever know and that you could possibly ever love him? He loves you. And the only reason you can love him is because he loved you first. I remember the morning. The afternoon then, Brother Jamie spoke to me, called me on the phone, and said, I had a vision this morning in church. And I said, what was the vision? He said, I was standing in the middle of a river, or in a river. And I was baptizing an African. He even looked up the river because he saw it plainly and looked up pictures of it and found where that river's at in Africa. And they were lying on the bank waiting for him to baptize them. They don't know anything about God. They didn't grow up in a church. Amen. And in that country, most of them are Muslim. Nearly all of them. And God would talk to a man 9,000 miles away. I don't know how far it is, but it's got to be close. And lay upon his heart the need of one of those people. Why? Because he loves them. They haven't done a thing to deserve it. Amen. They didn't offer any sacrifices to him that brought him down. He simply loves them. Anybody believe that? Then why do you have problems believing that he loves you? There is no difference. Don't get that wrong. There is no difference except that you, most of you have been born again, and so there is a difference. You're his kids. Amen. You're not the kids down the street that walk by your house. Brother Simmons, you know how it is. Your kids probably had friends, and you love those friends of your kids. You loved them. I did, most of the time. There were a few of those friends, after a while, they got kind of under your skin. You wonder if you loved them or not. But you loved them. But they went home. And my kids didn't go home. And yes, there's a difference. There's a difference of how much I love my kids. There just is. You think there's not a difference? It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He's pleased with that. He wants to give you the kingdom. Do we believe that right now? Praise God. Come on, let's lift our hands to him again and just worship the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Just 1 second. Do you have the paper? Okay. You've got to get in your mind. And let me just tell you what happened this morning. The Holy Ghost moved, and God did for you. And many of you, he already did it. And then he brought the man of God up here to give you instruction of what has already happened to you. What happened to you at this altar, wherever you were praying, when you were jumping, when you were shouting, when you were speaking in tongues, when you were praying for other people, what happened to you is what he preached about. He came by the ditch this morning and said, come on up out of there, and picked you up out of the ditch. That's what he did for you. The instruction came after he did it, but that's okay. Amen. That's all right, because that lets us know that as the colt, he knew where we were at without somebody having to preach to you. Amen. He knew already where you were at, so he was picking you up out of your ditch. Amen. And he's told you, this is what I just did for you. Now walk out of here out of the ditch. Amen. Praise God. Let me just say one thing before Brother Patterson comes. For you that were not here on Wednesday night, Brother Wagner presented the need of Christmas for Christ. He presented the need of planting churches. In Pennsylvania, we have 36 counties that represent 3,200 and some people that do not have an apostolic church in it, a United Pentecostal church in it. And we don't want that to continue, and we're working hard to make that happen. He presented that need, 251,000 people per United Pentecostal church. Amen. And I said it last week, if you believe that every single individual that went to church today, in every kind of church that there is, if you and I said this, no pastor believes that everybody walks through that door on any given Sunday morning, everybody that walks through that door is ready to go to heaven. I don't know if a pastor believes that. I mean, they just know. There's some folks that come through that door, they're struggling with all kind of junk, and God's mercy is big, and they hope it's bigger than they think it is even. Amen. But if you believe that every single individual that went to church this morning of any kind of denomination in church in the state of Pennsylvania is saved, you still got about 80% of the population that needs God. If you don't believe that, go downtown on a Sunday morning while every church in town is in. You'll find them. Amen? It's not there. So that being said, there's a need of churches. He presented the need. He presented faith, scripture, the backup that God would give. If you will bless him, that he'll bless you. Not some pie-in-the-sky stuff, but pure scripture. And from that, you, the church that was here, 42 people, filled out tithing envelopes with a Christmas for Christ pledge that totaled, counting one that was handed to me Friday night, $14,550 that this church is going to give for Christmas for Christ to plant churches. It blows my mind. It is beyond my faith. I did not have that. This is what I wanted to say about that. If you did not have the opportunity yet to make a pledge, or if you just want to, we left the envelopes out for this reason. We were just going to do envelopes this year, but we left them out today because if you did not have the opportunity to make a pledge and you want to, you can do it on a tithing envelope. Just write down Christmas CFC and how much and your name, or and put it in the offering, or you can come up and get a tithing or one of these envelopes, take it with you, and then bring it back next Sunday or not later than December the 24th. We're going to try to have this offering in this church done by December 24th, if possible. And our secretary's laughing, and there's a reason she's laughing. But we're going to try to have it done. Amen? Turned in. Praise God. So we're going to really do and give our best gift to the Lord Jesus Christ this year and try to reach and build churches in this district. Brother Patterson, come. Praise God.